We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachas daf Lamed Vav. We begin 10 lines up from the top of the Amid, and the Gemara continues discussing different types of food items regarding what their proper Birchas Hanen and what's the proper Bracha. And specifically, our Gemara is going to be discussing wheat flour, as we're going to see in a moment, and that's because during the discussion will come up related to the previous daf's discussion towards the end that spoke about the proper Bracha when one consumes olive oil. And that's going to come in the coming discussion. That's where the Gemara brings it over here. So the Gemara begins, Kimcha dechiti. That is, if someone eats wheat flour as it is, in other words, there's the grain, and then it's pulverized, it's turned into flour, and then it could be in the state of flour or dough, and then it's before he turns it into a pastry or into a cake or to challah. So now in that state, in that middle state, what is the proper bracha when one consumes wheat flour? So we have a machlekes. He says that you make a bar pri adama just as if one would chew wheat kernels, as the Gemara says in Daf Lamed Zayin, that you make a bar pri adama because it's a grain, it's like a seed that grows from the ground. And therefore you make a bar pri adama because it's the same type of thing. Taisa similarly, for example, he gives like a granola. These are types of things that if you would take it in that form before it's turned into a flour and turned into dough and then into pastry, into bread, then the bracha maintains, since it grows from the ground, it maintains the bracha ber pri adama. However, Rav Nachman amar shehakol nibidvar, the bracha is shehakol, although it started off our adama and ultimately will be a mezainis ra hamoitzi. However, now it's downgraded, so to speak, to a generalistic bracha of shehakol nibidvar, that everything is made in his word. So the Gemara says, amali rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava told Rav Nachman that he was the one that said the proper bracha shehakol. Le'tifiko led Rav Yehuda. Don't argue in Rav Yehuda, who said that the proper bracha is bar pri adama, and it maintains the bracha it always was since it was made, that it was created from the ground. Rabbi Yechonah and Shmuel came to say, because Rabbi Yechonah and Shmuel, these two great Talmidei Chacham, they both agreed, Rabbi Yehuda, that the proper bracha would be bar pri adama. How do we see that? And this is the halacha we had quoted in the previous daf. Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, v'chinam Yitzchok, and Rabbi Yechonah, that these two said the following statement, that Shem and Zayis mevarchin love bar pri eitz. Then when one consumes olive oil, you make the bracha of bar pri eitz. So what do you see from there? That Alma afagav dishtani bin milsei koi. So you see that although the olive had changed, and it changed into oil, it retains its original status, which was the bracha on the olive, which is bar pri eitz. So therefore, although it changes now into a liquid form, it maintains its bracha bar pri eitz. So hachinami afagav dishtani bin milsei koi. Here also, although that the grain has changed now into a different state, into a form of a flour, it still retains the original bracha bar pri adama. So don't argue and say that it's shahakal, when it seems to be that the two great Talmidei Chacham agreed, Rav Yehuda, that it's a bracha of ber pri adama. So the Gemara responds, "Mi dami? Can you compare olive oil, that it retains the bracha of ber pri eitz, to flour, that it should retain the bracha of ber pri adama? Hasam, over there by olive oil, lesli ilui achrina. There is no other improvement that it can come after the olive oil state. In other words, there's olive, and one state it could go into now is olive oil. Now that's it. You can't turn it into any other form. And therefore, it maintains its bracha of bari pir eitz. Hacham is le'elu yachrina. Here there is another stage, another improvement that can be made to it. Pepas, that it can be turned into bread. And therefore, although that by olives there's two stages, here there's three stages. And therefore, what happens is that it's not its original pre, it's not the original fruit that was in the state when it was in the kernels. And it also didn't reach its what's called derech achila in the proper form that it's usually eaten, which is in the form of bread. So therefore, it's neither a pri, which is the bracha of bari pri adama, and it's neither the proper form that's eaten in, which is bread. So therefore, it can't be the bracha of bari pri adama or hamoitz. And therefore, it's so to speak downgraded to shahakal. But by oil, it right away becomes, when as it's changed, to what's called derech achilase, the way it's usually consumed. And since that's the main purpose of the fruit of the olive, which is planted for that it should be turned into olive oil. So that's why the olive oil is considered a pri, it's considered a fruit. Whereas here, the flour is not the form that it's intended to be used in, and therefore, if one decides to consume it in the form of flour, that's why Rav Nachman held that it's going to be a shahakal, because it's neither here nor there. It's not the original pre, it's not the ultimate pre, and that's why it's downgraded to shahakal, whereas by olive oil, of course, I would also agree that it's a bracha bei pre, because it's reached its ultimate form when it's turned into olive oil. So now the Gemara questions on this, you saw it on this concept that we just answered. Is it true that this is what Rav Nachman says, that when there is another, so to speak, improvement that can be made to it, and it's not what it originally was, so that you don't make a bracha bar pri adama, rather only a shahakol, because it's neither here nor there? But v'amr Reb Zeir amr Reb Machna amr Shmuel, we had this following halacha that was said. Akara chaya v'kimcha d'sar, regarding a raw pumpkin and on barley flour, these two food items, the halacha is mavachina layer shahakal nibidvoy. Then we make a shahakal. Again, that they're also, so to speak, downgrade, although they're from the ground, that should seem they should be a bird pre-adam at least. However, since the pumpkin is raw and the barley is flour, it's not the kernel and it's not the bread, so the bracha shahakal nibidvoy. So the Gemara wants to be medayik from that halacha and infer that my lav, that wouldn't, doesn't it sound like that from the fact that they picked that halacha of flour should apply to barley, that the chite is by priadama, that by wheat, which is always considered more chashiv and a greater food item that has, so to speak, a finer attribute to it, that it's only by barley, which is not as chashiv, that there they're going to say that when it's in its flour form, that it's shahakal. And the fact that they didn't pick wheat is mashma, that it would be a bar priadama. So therefore, you see that wheat flour is a bar priadama, not a shahakal, like you, Rav Nachman, want to say. So the Gemara says, loy. The chiti nam shahakal midbar. In truth, that the halacha would apply that even wheat flour would also be a shahakal. So then the question is, so let us say in the halacha that wheat flour is a shahakal, and then for sure we would know that barley flour, which is a lower grade, definitely when it's, so to speak, downgraded to flour form, then for sure it would be shahakal. So the Gemara says that although that is the case, as we're trying to posit now, that chitim and sari are the same, that they're both shakal. But however, if I would have said it, that this halacha applies to wheat flour, I would thought, so that the halacha of a raw pumpkin and wheat flour are shakal. I would have thought that barley flour, since it's so low, lower grade, that when it gets downgraded to flour, that it's not the original form, and it's not the ultimate form, that you wouldn't make a bracha at all. Not only not shahakal, not only not hadama, and not shahakal would be no bracha. Kamash malan. That's why we have to pick and tell you, barley flour, of course it applies to wheat flour too, but we have to tell you that it is at least a shahakal. So Shikamar responds to this. It says, is it really true that would be the reason why they had to say barley flour? Because you would think that they wouldn't have to make any bracha at all on it. But is it any less than salt and brine? And that is, how can you think that it wouldn't need a bracha? Ditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, ala melech v'alzamet, that even on salt and brine, a person makes a shahakal. And barley flour is less of a food item that it wouldn't need a bracha at all than salt and brine? So Shikamar says, yes, in a sense, yes. It happens at times that a person is apt to throw some salt or some brine in his mouth. Let's say he's eating something that's bland or whatever, and he's going to throw in some salt or some brine to give it flavor. So therefore, it's something that is necessitates a bracha. But regarding barley flour, since it's bad for the person because it causes these intestinal worms, I would think you shouldn't make any bracha in it at all, because it's bad for the person, and the person would not consume it. Kamash malan, kiven this le'anomine by bruchah, that the chiddush is, that since ultimately the person does have some pleasure when he consumes in the act of eating, when he consumes, although for his health, and later on it's not going to be good for him, but when he has that pleasure, when he's eating it, it gives him that hanah, so therefore it requires a bracha, and that's the chiddush that we have to say, but it's not a difficulty for Rav Nachman, because he would say that the halacha would not only be by kimcha desari, not only by barley flour, but it would even be by kimcha dechiti, even by wheat flour. And we just had to tell you that even barley flour requires at least a bracha of shahakal, and we not to say that it doesn't require any bracha at all. And that we have that machlekes about what is the proper bracha. Is it by priadama? Does it retain its original bracha? Or is it shahakal because it got downgraded? It's not the original pre, and it's not the pre it's going to be to. Now the Gemara continues on this theme about things that change, about what is the proper bracha on them. And specifically, the Gemara brings down koira, regarding bamboo shoots. And that is, these are the things that the branches of the palm tree grows every single year, like all other trees. And the ones that grow in the new year, they're still soft. And only in the second year that they're there already in existence, then they get hard and they become like a piece of wood, like a hard like a tree. But in the first year that these, so to speak, these branches are growing, they're still soft. And that's what's commonly known as bamboo shoots. So what is the proper bracha on bamboo shoots? Rabbi Hudama bari priadama, because it's so to speak, the tree is something that grows from the ground. It's not a fruit of a tree, because it is the tree itself, and the tree grows from the ground. So you make a bari priadama. Shmuel ama shahakal nimidvo. You make a shahakal. It's not a fruit in that sense, and therefore he says it's shahakal. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Huda Amar, Bari Pri Adam. Why does he say it's Bari Pri Adam? As we said, because Peru, it's a fruit. It's a fruit of the ground, so to speak. That's where the tree in the sense is. Ushmol HaMashahakal Nibidvar. Why is it Shahakal? So he says, it's a pre, it's something that's growing from the ground. Since eventually it's going to harden, so therefore he doesn't consider it a pre, it's not a fruit, it's a tree. A tree is not a fruit, and therefore you don't make a bracha. It's like eating a rock. Although rocks are from the ground, it's not, so to speak, a pre hadama. And therefore he says you make a shahakal. So Amalei Shmuel, Rabbi Huda, Shmuel that held the halach is shahakal. He said to Rabbi Huda that says it's Bari Pri Adama, he says, Shin, the sharp one, Kavasach Mistabra. It makes sense like you that the correct bracha in our machlokes that we have, that you're the right, yeah, you're correct, that the bracha on the pambusha should be a Bari Pri Adama. Why do I say that? Though it's noin, so evil hakshas, because the radish also eventually hardens. And that is, if you don't rip it off the from the ground in its proper time, it gets hard like a piece of wood. And still, we make a bracha of Bari Pri Adama. So that you see that although my svar was that it should be a shahakal, because eventually it's going to harden, and so we see it's not really a fruit, it's really a tree, it's like a piece of wood. However, I see from radish that I'm incorrect. And that is that although radishes also eventually will harden into like a, so to speak, like a rock. However, since right now it's fitting to be eaten, so therefore it's considered a pre, and that's why you make a Bari Pri Adama. To which the Gemara says, Velohi, it's not really true. That comparison is not correct, and that is there's a difference. And that is, there's an extra maila, there's an extra chasar, and there's something else lacking by bamboo shoots that would not, you can't compare it to tznoin. And that is tznoin, not the incha dai to the puglam. By a radish, people plant it with that intention to eat it as it's when it's a soft radish, when it's still soft, which that name is, it's called pugla when it's small. And therefore that, so to speak, makes it a pre. In other words, what makes anything, something edible or a pre, a fruit, is the human intention that these are the things that we consume and we use it for our bodily sustenance, so therefore that's what people's intention is, but therefore it has a din, has the law of a fruit. However, diklo loy noti in jedai to the kura, whereas by a palm tree, people don't plant it with the intention that they're going to consume the branches, which are the palm shoots, so therefore that should be shahakal, like Shmuel said, and not like the way he wanted to say that Rabbi Huda is correct, there should be a Bari Pri Adama, because it's very different, a radish, to the bamboo shoots. In that, in bamboo shoots, it's not planted for that. So therefore, again, it doesn't have a chalois, doesn't have anything to affect it into making it a fruit, because it is a tree. Whereas by the radish, although it will eventually harden, but people plant for that, and therefore should have a din of a fruit. Rashi Gemara responds to this, is it true that what we're saying now, that wherever a person does not plant something with that intention, as we're saying by the bamboo shoot, they were trying to say that the bracha should be shahakal, not like the way Shmuel was trying to agree to Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, Shmuel is correct. And that is because it should be shahakal because people don't plant it for that intention. So therefore, it retains, it does not become a pre, and therefore the bracha is shahakal. But we have a different fruit, Mahari Tzlaf. We have the keeper bush. Denati inche adait to the pircha, what people plant it for. They plant it with the intention of the berries. That's the pircha, the name of the fruits of the slaf of the keper bush. And utnan, and still we learn in the Mishnah, amini nitzban, all the different types of fruits of the caper bush. And the reason why it's called amine is because there's many different types of things, outgrowths, that come out of this caper bush. So it says that ala olin v'ala tamaris, on the leaves of the caper bush, and on these like date-like outgrowths, that's what's called tamar, which is a date, but it's not really the fruits. It's that it comes out from like the leaves. It grows like almost looks like a date, and it comes out like by the aravis, by the myrtle, it has like that type of like these outgrowths. I'm a Bari Pri Adama. Those two things, the leaves and these outgrowths, one makes a Bari Pri Adama. Valavyoinis, valakafris, and I'm a Bari Pri Aetz. Whereas by the avyoinis, which are the fruits, those are the actual berries of this caper bush, and on its shells of the kafri, of the avyoinis, in other words, it's the shell that surrounds the fruit, it's like a husk that surrounds it just like by walnuts, you have that outer shell. On those two things you make, I'm a Bari Pri Aetz, you make a Bari Pri Aetz. So the question that the Gemara is posing is that we find that the leaves, one makes a Bari Pri Adama. And that is something that person, they don't plant the caper bush for the intention to eat the leaves. It's just that the leaves taste good. And people eventually, they just ultimately end up eating from it. But no one's planting for that, they plant it for the berries. So therefore, and still we see that one makes a Bari Pri Adama on them, because again, it's growing from the ground. In other words, it's part of the tree, and the tree is a pre of the Hadama. So therefore, although it's not planted for that, we see you do make a Bari Pri Adama, unlike the assumption we just made that when something is not planned for that, as we're trying to say by the bamboo shoots, one would make a shahakal. Here it seems to be, we find the Mishnah not like that. It says that you would make a bari pri adama. Amrav Nachma Yitzchok, Tzlaf, not the intradayta, the truth of the Gemara says, no, it's not. It's incorrect what we were assuming to ask from the kebab bush, because a kebab bush, a person does plant with the intention to enjoy from everything that it sprouts from it. And that is, they intend to eat the leaves and the date-like outgrowths, because these things do not diminish from the tree. In other words, from the fruit that they want to get. However, diklalay, not the intradayta, the kura. By a palm tree, they specifically do not intend to eat the bamboo shoots, and that is because if they would eat the bamboo shoots, they would be diminishing the actual tree, because it's the branches that are soft, and that is what one consumes, and that people do not want to consume, because that would make the tree less and have less room, so to speak, for more fruits and for the continuance of the tree, and therefore that's different. The kebab is correct. You would make a bari pri adama even on the leaves itself, because that people intend, yeah, why not? Of course I want that when I'm planting it, because it's not going to take away from any of the other things that I want from it. But whereas by bamboo shoots, there the Gemara is saying that it should be shahakal, like Shmuel, not like the way he agreed to Rabbi Yehuda, because people do not plant, and specifically they do not want to, so to speak, plant for that to eat the bamboo shoots, because it's going to take away from the trees. So although if someone will eat the bamboo shoots, it's going to be a shahakal, because again, it never had the chalois, never had the din of pri, because people don't plant for that. Now, and then the Gemara concludes and says that va'avagav dekalse Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, that although Shmuel praised Rabbi Yehuda and says, oh, sharp one, it seems that halacha should be like you, because he had compared it to the case of the radish, that it should be a bari pri adama on the bamboo shoots. And that shahakal hilchas kavaseh de Shmuel, halacha is like Shmuel, as the Gemara just confirmed, that because it's not planted with that intention for it, and it's part of the tree, so therefore the brook is going to be shahakal and bamboo shoots, and not a bari pri adama. So now the Gemara continues on. Once we introduce the tzlaf, the Gemara is going to bring in a discussion that will come back to what we just quoted before regarding the proper brachas on the different items on the kaper bush. Amar Yehuda Merav, tzlaf shel arla, regarding a kaper bush of arla, which are the first 3 years that the tree was planted, the first 3 years the fruits are forbidden for any hana, and it has the din of arla. So regarding a kaper bush of arla b'chutz laretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is only a midrabanan, midaraisa, the din of arla is only in Eretz Yisrael. So the halacha is as follows. Since there's many different items that come on the kebab bush, so the halacha is zerik es avyoinis, v'oichel es kafiris. You have to throw away the fruit, because that has a din of arla, you don't have any pleasure from it. But however, you could eat the husks. That's the halacha Rabbi Yehuda Merav said. So the Gemara says, lememra, so it seemed that he's saying, devyoinis peri, v'kafiris and lav peri. That he's saying that devyoinis, the berries, are the fruit, and that's why the din of arla, the prohibition of the hana, of the pleasure of the first 3 years of the tree, is only for the fruits that come from the tree. So therefore, the avyoinis, the berries, they're fruits, but the husks are not a fruit, and therefore there's no din of arla. That's what it would seem. However, the Gemara asked for a minu. We had, and this is the halacha we just quoted in the previous Gemara, Amini Nitzba, it says, regarding the different types of fruits on the kebab bush, it says, ala olam al tamoris ima ber pri adama, that on the leaves and on the date-like outgrowths, one makes the ber pri adama, ala avyoinis, ala kafisin ima ber pri eitz. That we said that on the berries and on the husks, one makes a bar prio eitz, that Hashem creates the fruits of the tree. So it seems from that Mishnah that the kafrisin are, the husks are fruits. So therefore, how could Rabbi Yehuda Merav say that regarding the din of arla, one would be able to consume the kafrisin if it's a fruit, and the fruit of arla should be aser. So the Gemara says that who, that in the reference to Rav, this halacha that we just mentioned, Rabbi Yehuda Merav, he holds the Amar Rabbi Akiva. He's saying his opinion that it's not a pri, that the kafrisin would not have a din of a pri. That is like Rabbi Akiva. And that is, he's arguing on this statement that we had in the previous Gemara. Dinan, as we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Tzlaf mis Aser Tamaris, Vevyoinis of Kafrisin. Rabbi Eliezer says that regarding the kaper bush, when you're taking off Meiser, a tenth of the fruits, you have to take off a tenth from the date-like outgrowths, for a tenth from the berries, the actual fruits of the tree, and you have to take off a tenth from the husks, because all these things he considers the fruits. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein mis Aser Elevyoinis Bolvad, Mneshahu Pri. Rabbi Kiva says no. The only thing you have to take off a tenth from are the avyoinis, which they're the actual fruits, the berries, because they're the fruits. So obviously you see from Rabbi Akiva that he argues on the previous Mishnah, and he says that the kafris and the husks are not a fruit, and therefore that's where Rabbi Yehuda Merav was coming from when he said that regarding the arla of the tzlaf, of the kebab bush, one is permitted to consume the husks. So then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, and that he was coming from the Shita of Rabbi Kiva, who is a Tana, and he's not Mor, which is much later, the name Halacha Rabbi Kiva, let him just simplify his Halacha. Why does he have to specify regarding Arla that the Kafis Namur, to just say that the Halacha follows Rabbi Kiva, and then we would know that yes, you could consume the kafrisim because Rabbi Kiva does not consider it a fruit, and therefore it would not have the prohibition of arla on it. So the Gemara says no. I amar halacha k'Rabbi Kiva. Were that to be just the statement of Yehudim Rab that halacha follows Rabbi Kiva, have mina filah ba'aretz. I would think that the halacha follows Rabbi Kiva, even in Eretz Yisrael, to be lenient by the kafrisim that one may consume the husks of arla of the kebab bush. Kamash Malon, Kalamekel Ba'aretz, that we're telling you that no. The reason why we're saying the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva is because whoever is lenient in regarding the din of Va'arla in Eretz Yisrael, halacha kamaisa b'chutz la'aretz, the halacha is like him out of Eretz Yisrael. That it is, since out of Eretz Yisrael, it's not a biblical commandment, it's only with Rabbanim. And we know by the mitzvahs Rabbanim we go lahakil, and specifically regarding the halacha of Arla. So therefore, that is why we don't say halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, because then I would think it's even like him in the Eretz Yisrael, and then we don't pass like him. Because there is derais, and there were machmer, that even the kafris and the husks do have a din of pri, and would be prohibited from the iser of arla. It's only in chutz la'aretz, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda Merav said a statement regarding tzlav shalala, but chutz la'aretz, there you're permitted to eat the kafris, and yet you're permitted to eat the husk. But if we would just say halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, I would think it's even in the Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara asks, so Avu Ba'aretz Lai, so that's what you're saying, that the reason why we said it like this is because in Eretz Yisrael one would not be permitted to eat the husks. So then you could still simplify it. V'neim Halacha K'Rabbi Kiva B'chutz La'aretz. Just say that Halacha K'Rabbi Kiva out of Eretz Yisrael, the Chalamekel Ba'aretz Halacha K'Mayis B'chutz La'aretz, because as we said, that whoever is lenient in Eretz Yisrael, the Halacha is like him in Chutz La'aretz. And therefore I could just state that Halacha K'Rabbi Kiva in Chutz La'aretz. Why do I have to cloud that and just, so to speak, gloss over the fact that it's coming from Rabbi Kiva? We generally like saying that who's the town that it's from, instead of saying it like it's our own halacha from Namayram. We should have just said the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva in Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara says again that would still be lacking in the definition, because Iyam Hachi, were we to say that halacha is like Rabbi Kiva in Chutz La'aretz, Havamina Hanamili Gabemaisil, I would have thought that the halacha is to be lenient like Rabbi Kiva only in the halacha that Rabbi Kiva was speaking about in that machlekes, which was regarding the meiser of a tree. That is the Eretz Gufim Drabban, that meiser Elon, the taking of a tenth of the produce of a tree, and even in Eretz Yisrael itself, is only Midrabbanon, because Rabbi Kiva's halacha was going on meiser. And that is, he said that regarding meiser, that the halacha is that you only have to take off a tenth from the avyonis, from the fruit, and not from the shells. But meiser of pears of the tree in Eretz Yisrael itself was only Rabbanan, because the Torah, the biblical commandment of meiser, was only set on dug and tirsh v'yitzer, only on grain, wine, and oil. So therefore, then I would think that regarding meiser of a tree, that I could be lenient like him in Chutz La'aretz, avigabi arla, but regarding arla, which is the din of what Rav is talking about, the Eretz Midaraisa, the Eretz Yisrael, that's a biblical commandment. Eben b'Chutz La'aretz, nami nixis. I would tell you that even in Chutz La'aretz, although there it's only midrabbanan, but it's, so to speak, a drabbanan on the deraisa, not like ma'aser ilan, which would be a drabbanan, so to speak, on the drabbanan, then I would say to that kafrisin should be aser, that the husk would be prohibited and would have it in a pri kamash malan. That's why we had to say it the way we said it, without, so to speak, using Rabbi Kiva as our platform, although it is coming from Rabbi Kiva, but since it would not be fully understood, we had to say it that in our own statement from Yehuda Merav, that one may consume the kafrisin of arle and chutz la'aretz. So now the Gemara continues with a story related to this, that Ravina, Ashkichi l'mabra avashi, Ravina once found Mabra avashi, the kazark of Yoinis, the ka'ochel kafrisin, that he was throwing away the berries of Arla, and he was eating the husks of Arla in Chutz La'aretz. So Amalei, my daitachi, says, what is your opinion, why are you doing this, that you're consuming the husks, but you're throwing away the fruit? Krib Kiva de Mekel, so it would seem that because you're going like Krib Kiva, who's Mekel, he's lenient in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore, we're lenient like him in Chutz La'aretz. Maybe that's the halacha regarding Arla, that we use the most lenient shita and we rely on it in Chutz La'aretz. If that's the case, say so Levid Marka Beishamai, you should be doing even something even more lenient, because you could use the opinion of Beishamai, and that according to him, you could be Mekel de Mekili Tveh, they're Mekel even more, they're lenient even more. The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, regarding Tzlaf, regarding the cape bush, there's a machlekes regarding what type of din it has, and that is Beishamai Aimrim. Their opinion is that if one would to grow the kebab bush together with in the proximity of a vineyard, that it would have the din of kalayim, or prohibited mixtures of what's called kalayim bekarim, that when one mixes it with a vineyard, it has a din of kalayim and it would be prohibited, because Beisham may consider the tzlaf, the kebab bush, as a yerek, as a vegetable. And therefore, vegetables and a vineyard have their prohibition of kalayim, of that being considered prohibited mixtures. In kalayim bekarim, it would not be considered a din of kalayim, or prohibited mixture, if it was planted in the proximity of a vineyard, because he considers it like a tree. And there is no din of kalayim regarding having trees next to a vineyard that is now prohibited mixtures. However, the Mishnah ends off that elu ve'elu moedim shechayav shechayv ba'arla. Both Beishami and both Beishil agree that the kebabush has the chi of the obligation of arla, that is the first 3 years one is prohibited to have pleasure from the fruits that grow from the kebabush. To which Gemara asks, hagufa kasha, there's an internal contradiction over here. Amrit slav, you said regarding the kebabush, Beishami and kalayim b'kerek, the Beishami say that it has a din of kalayim, of prohibited mixtures, when it's in the proximity of a vineyard. Amma min yerikus, obviously Beishami considered the kebabush a vegetable, because it only applies to vegetables, not to trees, not to fruits from the tree. And then you say that both Beishami and Beishil agree that the kebabush is obligated in the halach of arlo. Amma min ilanhu. So obviously you see that Beishami agree that the kebabush has a din of a tree. And that's why, because the din of arla does not apply to vegetables, only to fruits that grow from a tree. So how is it? Does he consider it a fruit of a tree or a fruit of the ground? To which the Gemara responds, holy kasha, that's not a difficulty. Beishamai was unsure at all, which one is it? Is it a vegetable? What do we classify it as a fruit of the ground or a fruit of the tree? So they did over here l'churma. That is, they considered like a vegetable regarding the halachas of klayim. And they did over here l'churma, more stringent. That is, they considered like a tree regarding the halach of arla. And therefore, they're, so to speak, making the person have the worst of both scenarios, that you're obligated in both the halachas of the fruits of the ground, which would make it prohibited as klayim, and also the fruits of the tree, which would make it obligated in the halachas of arla. So that's the understanding of that mishnah. So now the Gemara goes back. Mikol makom. Either way, what happens is now the Gemara is going to, so to speak, conclude the question that they're saying, and to say that even if it's a pri, even if we're considering tzlaf as a fruit, but it should be mutter even the chutz la'aretz, because in Eretz Yisrael it's a suffix according to Beis Shammai if it is even a fruit of the tree, as the Gemara says, Mikol makom lebeis Shammai havel suffix arla. According to Beis Shammai, it's not even sure if the actual fruit of the kebabush is obligated in arla, because according to Beishami, there's a possibility that it's a vegetable of the ground. And a vegetable ground does not have the halach of arla. It's only he mandates, so to speak, to have the laws of arla because of suffix, because he's not sure. However, that's in Eretz Yisrael. As the Gemara says, now we learn in the Mishnah regarding suffix arla, which slav, according to Beishami, would be classified as suffix arla, that it's unsure if it's arla, because maybe it's not a fruit of the tree, maybe it's a fruit of the ground. So the halach is be'Eretz Yisrael asr. And Eretz Yisrael, and that's why Beishami agrees that there would be prohibited to have a nub because it's a suffix deraisa. Ubisurya mutter, but in Surya, which is Aram Tzoiva, this is an area that David HaMelech conquered and he added it on to the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. There, it's permitted. Ubechutz la'aretz, and in Chutz la'aretz, which is even further, that's the, so to speak, for sure not part of Eretz Yisrael at all, there a person could be yoyrid v'leikech. A person could go down and actually purchase something, even though he knows that there's a definitely, the person has in his paradise, in his place, he has older trees and new trees. And the new trees are still in, within the 3 years, and that they have a iser of arla. And he has old trees which have permitted things. A person is permitted to go, even though he knows for sure that it's a 50-50 chance almost, that he might take from the new trees, that it's arla. Still a person is permitted to go down, and now we continue on to Lamed Vav Mem Beis, and to purchase from the person, and he could just, so to speak, turn his head away. But vachalei renu v'leiket, as long as he doesn't see when the person, so to speak, plucks, when the chaver, when this so to speak, this righteous person comes to buy, as long as he doesn't see the person picking off the new tree, he's permitted to have it. And that is a hari madriga. Not only that it's mutter, but it's even when you know you're going into, so to speak, lines then. You know it's a possibility. He might be picking. It's not a problem when it's in the chutzlat. So the Gemara's question is that according to Beis Shammai, the avyoinus, the actual fruit of the kebabush is a suffix pri. It's not sure if it is even a fruit of the tree at all. And therefore, in chutz la'aretz, where we say that by arla of suffix, as we just quoted, that there it's mutter, and you're even allowed to go specifically and go into a situation where it definitely might be arla. And so therefore, since we say the halacha is like the makel, whoever's the most lenient one,
in Eretz Yisrael, we hold like him in Chutz Laaretz. So why don't we do like Bishamai, that even the Eviyonis, not only the Kafrisin like you're doing like Reb Kiva, but even the Eviyonis, even the actual fruit should be permitted to eat because it's Safek Arla, and Safek Arla in Chutz Laaretz is permitted. So the Gemara says that Reb Kiva b'makom Reb Elazar abdini kavasei. The opinion of Reb Kiva in the place of Reb Elazar, because they argue regarding if the husk is a pre or not, and as we see there, Machlik is regarding the Maisra of a tree. So therefore, Reb Kiva's opinion is valid, in although he's arguing Reb Elazar, and we do like him in Chutz Laaretz, we make like him and rely on his opinion. However, Bishamai b'makom Beisil ain't a Mishnah. The opinion of Bishamai in regards to when they argue with Beisil is not even a Mishnah at all. In other words, it's not even a suffix, rather it's definite a pre, and it's going to be prohibited because we don't even consider Bishamai's opinion. It's not something we could even rely on to use it, so to speak, in Chutz Laaretz. And as the Gemara says many places, because the halacha always follows Beisil, so therefore it's not even a valid opinion, and that's why one may not eat the avyonis, you can't eat the fruit, rather you can only eat the kafris and the husks, as is the opinion of Reb Kiva, and we rely on him in Chutz Laaretz. So that this concludes this part of the Gemara, where the Gemara says that that is the halacha regarding the prohibition of the fruit, but the permissibility of the husks, because that's not considered a fruit. So now the Gemara comes from a different angle, and says that v'tei b'klei denasa shoyim lepri. However, it should emerge that the husks should be prohibited for a different reason. Correct? It's not a fruit, and the halacha of Orla only applies to fruits, but there's a different element that would prohibit something from being permitted regarding the halachas of Arla. And that is that even so, we're saying like Rabbi Kiva that he says regarding Maisa, it's not a fruit. Regarding Arla, the kafrisin should be aser because it's what's called a shoyim lepri, it protects the fruit. And the Gemara brings Rachman Amar, and the Torah says, Varaltim Arlasai es perya, that you should consider the fruits of the tree in the first 3 years as Arla as prohibited. And as the Gemara darshins, es, when it says the fruit, it's almost an extra word, is telling you how tough for the pri, something that's secondary to the fruit. Umayniyu, and what is that? Shayim l'pri. That is the drasha we have learnt on this pasuk that includes something that is a protector for the fruit. So therefore, since the husk, although it's not a fruit, as we see by Reb Kiva regarding when he says Allah regarding Maiser, however, regarding Arla, he would agree that it would be prohibited for Arla, not because it's a fruit, but because it's a shayim l'pri. It protects, the husk protects the fruit, and that would classify it as the Isra of Arla. So now the Gemara goes on to a few different approaches to try to explain why the husk would not be considered and would not have that halachic classification of a shomer lepri as protecting the fruit when it seems to be a generic shomer lepri as a protector for the fruit. So the first approach the Gemara takes, Amar Rava, Hicham rin de dinasa shomer lepri. When do we say that something becomes a protector for the fruit and therefore that it would be considered an Isra because it would be considered the halachas of Arla? That's Heicha de Isa bein betolish bein b'mechubah. That is only if the shell is, so to speak, there on the fruit, whether it's removed from the tree or whether when it's still connected to the tree. Hacha b'mechubah Isa betolish lesa. But here by the kafrisin, these husks that surround the evyonis, the berries of the caper bush, they're only there when it's connected to the tree. But once it's ripped off to the tree, then it ends up falling off before, when it ripens, it falls off, it doesn't stay on forever. So therefore, it does not qualify for halacha of shayim lepri. That's the differentiation the Rava wants to make. So Eitzvah, Abaya asks on this Hagdara, on this classification of Rava, that's what defines something as a shayimer, to be included in the halacha of Arla if it stays there, both when it's connected to the tree and both when it comes off. But we have the following halacha. We learn pitma shalrim regarding the pitim of the pomegranate, which is some type of like a sprout that's on the top, just like we have by apples. Mitztarefes, it combines to the shear of kebay, which is the size of an egg, for the halacha of tumas oichlin, that there's a halacha that something could be contaminated and continue contamination. If it's a food item, it gets the halacha of tumah if it's at least the size of an egg. So therefore, if the pomegranate is a little bit shy of that, but together with its pitim, it reaches that shear, it is mitztaref, it combines together, and therefore it can now be mekabel tumah. The hanetzalai, however, the husk of the pomegranate, that is a netz regarding a pomegranate, is the same thing as a kafris by the avyonis. They're both husks of their proper fruits. Ein mitztaref, the husk does not combine together with the pomegranate to be considered the fruit, and therefore to make it vulnerable to the halachas of tumah. And that is, although we say in Perek Oyer and the Reitiv, that a shomer is mitzdar for the tumah kala of tumas eichlin that regarding that it could be mekabel tumah. However, that's only, for example, by the shell of a walnut and a pomegranate. But their nets, the outer husk, that's a shomer on top of a shomer. That, like, so to speak, is a protector. There's the peel around the fruit, and then there's an outer husk. That's a protector on the protector. That does not combine, as the Gemara over there says. So therefore, it does not combine. So now the Gemara continues on this line of thought to ask their question, Abaye's question on Rabbah. From the fact that we said that this outer husk, this nets of the pomegranate, does not combine with the pomegranate for the halacha of tumah. So obviously we can get that, so to speak, and take that for granted, that it's not an oichel, it's not considered an edible item, because if it was, so to speak, an edible item, it would definitely combine with the pomegranate to be considered a bayis size of food, and therefore to be mekabel tumah, so it's not an oichel. And then, moreover, so b'tanya gabei arla, we learn regarding arla the following halacha. Klipe rimon, regarding the peel of a pomegranate, v'hanetsholei, and the outer growth, this husk, so to speak, of the pomegranate, and klipe agoizim, and the shells of a walnut, v'hagarinen, and the pits of a walnut, chayovin ba'arla, they're all obligated in the halacha of arla. So, obviously, what would require the halacha of the husk of the pomegranate to be considered in the halacha of arla? Obviously, from the din of shomer, that it's a protector for the fruit, and not because it's a fruit, as we proved before, that it's not mitzvah, it does not combine for the halachas of tumah. So why would it be obligated in the halachas of arla? Obviously, because it protects the pomegranate. And that is, the Torah adds from the words esperia, something that's secondary to the fruit. And this husk of the pomegranate is not there when it's, so to speak, ripped off from the tree. And that is because when it dries up, it falls off from the shell, and therefore it's not there. So how can you say, Rava, that it's not considered a shomer by the kafrisin, because it's not there when we rip it off the tree, it's only there when it's connected? But we find by the pomegranate, where its nets, its husk, is qualifies as a shomer, as we see that it's obligated in arla, and that has to be out because of the din of shomer, not because of the din of, it has to be from the din that it protects the fruit, not because it's fruit itself, because it's not included in the halacha of tumah for eichlin. So, and that's in spite of the fact that the nets, the husk of the pomegranate, does fall off when it's ripped off of the tree. So that obviously, Rava is incorrect. That cannot be the classification of what requires something to have the halacha of a shomer. So Rava concedes, and Rava gives a different hagdara, a different classification. Lama Rava, rather, heichamrina dinasu lu shomer lepri. When do we say that something becomes a protector of the fruit? Heicha deisa b'shas gema peri. That's only if it's there when the fruit reaches its maturity. And that is what applies by the nets of the rimon. In other words, the reason why the husk of the pomegranate is considered a shomer lepri, because it's there when the fruit matures and fully ripens. But high kafris, less the b'shas gema peri, but this kafris, these husks of the caper bush, it's not there when the avyonis, when it reaches a full maturity, when it fully ripens, and it falls off before. So therefore, that's why it doesn't qualify for the classification of a protector for the fruit of the caper bush. So now the Gemara asks on this pshat: Ini, is it true like Rava just said? But Rav Nachman said the following halacha. He said that hani maschali de arla, these husks of the arla, and that is the maschali of this is talking about by dates. And that is the maschali of dates is the same as the kafres by tzlaf. They're all the different terminologies regarding their proper fruits, but they're all husks of those fruits. So we have the husks of dates regarding the halacha of arla. So he said that it's asiri, that it's aser because of the din of arla, and that is hoyel v'nasur shomer l'peri, because since these husks of the dates are protecting the date, so it has a din of shomer l'peri. And as we said, es periyai, what's secondary to the fruit, also has a din of the fruit regarding of arla, and that's why it would be prohibited. So now the Gemara analyzes this halacha of Rav Nachman to ask on Rabba. The shomer l'peri emes haba. When is this husk of the date protecting the fruit? When is it there? That's only bekufra. That's only when it's immature, when the date is still small, before it reaches full maturity. The kukari le shomer l'peri, and still Rav Nachman is calling it a protector of the fruit. So obviously it's not like this classification, the second hagdara of Rava, that it's only a shomer l'peri if it's there when it matures, when it fully ripens, like he tries to say regarding the nets of the rimon. whereas Kafrizin of Avionis does not have that. We see that's not true. We see from Rabbi Nachman that even if it's there only when it's small, when it didn't fully ripen, that it's still being considered Shem of the Peri at that point. So the Gemara says that Rava is correct, and that it's only a protector of the fruit when it fully ripens, when it's then that it becomes a fruit. However, Rav Nachman Savla Krab Yosi, Rav Nachman that we were asking from, he holds like Rav Yosi, that he holds that even when it's a kufr, when it's immature, that Rav Yosi holds that even then it has the din of a peri, even if it didn't fully ripen yet. And that is why it's shomer, it's protector. At that time, it's considered a shomer because it's a shomer the peri. It's just that Rava was saying that if something falls off before it fully ripens, it's never fully a shomer the peri. But Rav Nachman was going in the sheet of Rav Yosi, who holds that even when it's immature, when it's not fully ripe, it's already a peri. It already has the halachic classification of a fruit, so therefore it could be a shomer the peri. As the Gemara proves this, that none, as we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Yosi Oima, smadar aser memneshu peri, that a grape bud is prohibited for the halachas of Arla. In other words, in its first 3 years of the tree, when it's just a grape bud, it's forbidden because it's a fruit. And that is by grapes, once the petals, the leaves fall off, and you're able to see the grape bud itself, that's called smadar. That's an early stage of the grape. And Rabbi Yosi says, since it already reached this stage of smadar, it's called a fruit, and therefore it already has the prohibition of Arla on it, because it's now a fruit already. However, uplig rabbanala, but the rabbanon argue on Rabbi Yosi, and the halacha is always like the rabbin. So therefore, the avyonis, as long as they're still with the kafrisin around them, that they're not a peri yet because they didn't fully mature. So therefore, the kafrisin are never called a shem of the peri, and that is not like Rabbi Yosi. And this that we were asking from Rav Nachman is Rav Nachman was going like Rabbi Yosi in there, but that's not a difficulty, it's not a challenge on the classification of Rava, because Rava is correct that something is only called a shem of the peri if it's a shem, if it's protecting, when it's actually a peri. That's only when it fully ripens and matures. This that we're asking for Rav Nachman, that he was saying that it's even when it's a early stage when it's immature, because he was saying like Rabbi Yosi, the Rabbi Yosi holds that a fruit is considered a fruit already even when it's immature, but Rabbanon disagree. They don't hold that a grape is considered a grape, that it's a fruit when it's still a bud, when it's smada. And therefore, it's not difficult, the classification of Rava. To which the Gemara asks, Maskabla Rav Shimi Minar Da, on this answer that we just gave, that the reason why it's not difficult is because Rav Nachman that we were asking from is like Rabbi Yosi, and we're going like Rabbanon, because Rabbanon argue in Rabbi Yosi. The Gemara says, Ubishari Loni Mi Pligi Rabbanon Leo, is it really true that by other trees, besides the grape tree that we were discussing, that Rabbanon do argue and that they do not concede to Rabbi Yosi that a fruit is not a fruit when it's a kufr, when it's in its immature stage, and that's how we're trying to resolve Rav and to say that the reason why Rav is correct by the kafrisin is because when it's immature, it's not a fruit. But we learned in the Mishnah not like that. The Rabbanon agreed to Rabbi Yosi by all other fruits that it is a fruit even when it's in immature stage, which would seem to contradict Rav, that it should be considered a shem of the peri even when it's on there when it's immature and it didn't fully ripen. But it's not, as we learned in the Mishnah. From when one may not chop down a tree in the seventh year, in the Shemitah year. That is because the Torah says that la'ochla, it says regarding the fruits of the seventh year, that you can eat it, which the Gemara learns somewhere else as a prohibition, v'loy lehefse, that you're not allowed to destroy the fruits of the Shemitah year. And that's what people always have to be careful in the Shemitah year, that one comes up a lot with esroigim on Shemitah, that one is not allowed to destroy it. So when does that begin? In other words, when do we consider the tree as a fruit tree that the fruits are already there? Because before the fruits come out, it's not yet a fruit tree. So therefore, then you could, so to speak, chop down the tree. When does the iser, the prohibition of, so to speak, chopping down the tree because then you're ruining the fruits, when does that begin regarding the iser on Shemitah? So that we have a machlokes. B'shama oimim kali lonis mishyitzu. Regarding all the fruit trees, it's when the fruits, when it brings forth the fruits. And that is now it's already ro'ut la'achla, like the pasuk says, it's fit to eat. So therefore, that's when the prohibition begins, that you would not be able to chop down that tree anymore. Ubisilla, I mean, Basila gives different categories. That is hacharuvim mishayashashu, the carobs begins from when it starts forming chains, that's how they grow. Fagafonim mishigaru, and the grapevines begin when its fruits, when the grapes get as large as the size of a guru, and the Gemara later is going to explain what that size is. Vazesim mishinitsu, and the olives, when it starts growing around it, the nets, that's the lashon mishinitsu, when the husk around the olives begin to grow. Mishar karlonis mishinitsu, and by the fruits of all the other fruit trees is when they bring forth, as Beishame had said. So now the Gemara says, "V'am Rav Asi," and Rav Asi said to explain this, that what is this when Beis Hillel said that the grapevine is when Mishigar, when it reaches the size of Geruah, he says, "Hu baiser hu Geruah." This that when the grape is a bud, is the same as the size of Geruah, that it's a larger size that it's reaching over here, and that's hu pol halav, and that's the same as the white bean. To which the Gemara interrupts and says, "Pul halav and sakatayetach to you." What does that mean? That the grape is a white bean? It's not actually a white bean. We're talking about grapes. Ela'ema shiura kipul halav, and that the shear of this baiser when it's a bud, which we're saying is the shear of Geruah, that's the size of a white bean. That's how large it gets. That then we consider it already a fruit, and therefore the tree is a fruit tree, and therefore one would be prohibited, according to Basil, to chop down the tree at that point in the year of Shemitah. So now the Gemara discusses what we just mentioned. So man shamet le, the amar baiser in samad alai. Who is this? In other words, when we're discussing the Shita of Basil, who did we ever hear that said regarding grapes that baiser is a pre, but the earlier stage of smadar, when it's still an early stage, when it just came out as a grape bud, that then it would not be considered a fruit? That's the Rabbanan. That's the Rabbanan that argue under B'Yisi in the Masechta of Arlo, and they learn that no, as a smadar, it's not a fruit yet. As we quoted before, the Rabbanan argue, and they hold that no, it's only when it reaches the stage of baiser. And that is what Beis Hillel is going on. They're going in that Shita because they say that when's a grape considered a grape, that it's a fruit and therefore it's a fruit tree and you can't chop down the tree on Shemitah. That's only when it's baiser, not smadar. So obviously Beis Hillel is going in the Shita Rabbanan, not Rabbi Yosi. Uketan yishar koilanus mishitzu, and still they say that all the other fruit trees, when is it considered a fruit tree? When are the fruits considered a fruit? When it sends forth. So we see that right when it comes forth that it's already a fruit, even when it's in the kufra stage, so to speak, when it's still immature. And that's not like Rava, because then we see that if it's a fruit already right when it comes forth, so therefore what's protecting it at that time should also be considered a shem leperi. And Rava tried answering to say that why kafrisin are not forbidden on Arla, because it's not a shem leperi, because it's only there when it's immature, but when it matures, then it already falls off. But we see over here that it's already a pre even before it matures, and therefore it should be considered a shem leperi. So the Gemara falls off that hagdara of Rava, that classification. The Gemara concludes a third classification in what defines something as a shem leperi. Elo amar Rava, hecha mina da have shem leperi. When did we say something becomes a protector for the fruit? That's when you take away, when you remove the protector, then the fruit dies. But here, when you take away the kafrisin, when you would take away the husk of the caper berry, the fruit would not die. And therefore, all those other things that we said, they're considered shema the peri, for example, by a pomegranate, that's because if were one to take away the husk of the pomegranate, then the fruit would die. So therefore, that's why we say by all the other trees, when it sends forth, that yes, it's considered a peri. And the avionis are of the kibbe bush are peri even when it doesn't fully mature. However, were one to take away the husk, the kafrisin of the avionis, the fruit wouldn't die. So therefore, that doesn't classify, that doesn't qualify for the classification of a shem of the peri, because it's not really protecting it, because you see it's not integral for the continuance, for the existence of the fruit, and that's why it's not going to be asr on arla from the halach of es period, that being secondary because it's a shem leperi, because it's not considered a shem leperi. And the Gemara says to prove this that hava uvda, there was an incident v'shaklua lenetzter emayna v'yavish emayna, that they took away the husk of the pomegranate and the pomegranate died, it dried up. V'shaklua lepercha de bitisa v'kain bitisa, and they took away the husk of the caper bush, of the caper berry, and the berry existed, it didn't dry up, it didn't die, and therefore that's why by the pomegranate it qualifies as a shomer, and by the caper berry it does not qualify as a shomer of the peri. So those are the three different shitas the Gemara went through, that what's considered a shomer of the peri. Originally the Gemara wanted to say that it's both, it has to be there when it's connected to the tree and when it's disconnected, and the Gemara fell off of that. Then Rava wanted to say that it has to be there at the time when it's Gemara Pei, when it fully matures, and then Rava fell off of that. And then finally the Rava said, and that's the one that we stay with, that it's only is considered Shem of the Pei, that if were one to take it off, that it would die, then it's considered Shem of the Pei, and that does not, that's not exactly what happens by the caper berry, and therefore it doesn't qualify as a Shem of the Pei. So then we have in parentheses over here that some are gerus and some are not. That is, v'hilchasa kama bar avashi. The Gemara says the halacha is like Mabra Avash regarding the halacha of Arla. That is the Zarkis of Yoinis v'ochles hakafrisin, that one throws away the Ebyoinis, that's the actual berry. And he can eat the kafris and he can eat the shell. That's as we said before in the Amud Aleph, that's like Rebbe Kiva, who's Mekel in Eretz Yisrael, that is does not consider the kafris and the shell so therefore chutzlah, as a fruit, so therefore chutzlah, it's one that's permitted to eat it, and it does not have the prohibition of Arla. So the Gemara then infers from that, then from the fact that regarding the halach of Arla, the shell is not considered a fruit, so therefore regarding the halachas of brachas, it's also not considered a fruit. And therefore, so therefore, one does not make a bracha on the shells, on the husk of the keba berry, as the berry itself, which is a bracha bay pri eitz, because it's the fruit of the tree. Rather, it's the halacha of bay pri adam, because it's not considered a fruit. Rather, it's part of the tree, but it's an edible part of the tree, and the tree grows from the ground. And therefore, one would make a bay pri adama and not a bay pri eitz. However, Taisus says from the Ram that, although that regarding Arla it's not a fruit, but that's only because that whoever we're lenient like them in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is like them in Chutz Laretz. But in Eretz Yisrael, it would be a peri, it would be a fruit. And therefore, the halacha on the bracha would be by pure eitz. And therefore, Tehi says that regarding brachas, there is no difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. And therfore, the halacha would be, and that's why, not like the Girsa in this parenthesis, the halacha would be that one would make a by pure eitz on the shells, on the husks, on the kafris, and not a bari pri adama, because in Eretz, so we see that we do consider it a fruit, and therefore there's no difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz regarding brachas, only regarding Arla do we differentiate. Now the Gemara continues on something else that also is not so edible, as we were seeing from the previous discussions of different brachas on different items, that they could become hard like a rock. So now the Gemara discusses pilpili, regarding peppercorns. Rav Sheshes Amar Shehakel, he says you make a shehakel because it's not a fruit. Rava Amaloi Klum, Rava says you don't make any bracha at all because it's inedible. You can't eat a peppercorn. It's something it's a spice that's used to maybe spice things up. It's like almost like a mineral, but it's not an edible item. And the Gemara explains that Va'az de Rava Latame, Rava was going, according to his opinion, as he said elsewhere, Dama Rava, the Rava said, Kas pel pola b'yem de kipure potter. If someone chews, that is, the word kas is anything that's not the way for a person to eat. That's called shaloi kadarka, that's called kasisa. So if he consumes a peppercorn on Yom Kippur, he's potter from karas. And that is because it's not considered eating. It's not a food item. Kas zangvila b'yom kippuri potter. And similarly, if someone consumes ginger on Yom Kippur, he's also potter again because Rebbe considers it not an edible item, and therefore one would not be chai of karis for eating in Yom Kippur. And moreover, he says over here that one would not make a bracha at all when one comes to eat it. So now the Gemara asks, and that Meisvei we learned, Harimeya Eimer, Rimeya said, Mimash Meshenemer, from the fact that the Pasuk says, regarding the halachas of Arla, Varaltim Arlose Esperia, that the fruits of the tree have the halachas of Arla and that they're prohibited. In Yedeh She'itz Machalhu, don't I know that obviously we're talking about a fruit tree, we're talking about fruits. So why elamatam aloyim eitz machal? So why does the pasuk have to say that it's a fruit tree? If obviously we're talking about its fruits, it's a fruit tree. So he says that eitz machal is coming to tell you a different halacha. That's lahavi eitz. It's coming to include a tree. Shetam eitz leupir yushave, that the fruit tastes the same as the bark. The eizehu zeh pilplin. Which one is that? That's the peppercorn. That it tastes the same as the bark, as the tree that's holding it. So what does that come to teach you? It comes to teach you two things. One, shapel polin chayav ba'arla, that peppercorns are obligated in halach of arla. That's why it says eitz machal in the parasha of arla, to tell you that it's an eitz that's a machal, it's that they have the same taste, and that's the peppercorn that it's obligated in arla. Ulametcha she'ein eretz sol chaser klum, and it also comes to teach you that eretz sol is not lacking anything. It even has peppercorns, it has everything, and that's why we're telling you that the arla, which is in eretz sol, applies to it. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Eretz asher lo yivim miskenu is toicha balechem, that it's a land that without poverty you're going to eat bread. Leisech sekoba, that you will not lack anything. Everything is there. And that is, but we see from this, that peppercorns are considered a fruit. And that's why it has the prohibition of arla. So how could Rava say that you don't make a bracha at all on it, and that you'd be part of eating on Yom Kippur, if it is a fruit? And l'chor you should have to make a bracha, as we see that it's obligated even the halachas of arla. So the Gemara says, loy kasha. When did we say that it's considered a fruit and therefore it would be obligated in the halachas of Arla? That's when it's moist. When did Rava say that if someone consumes the peppercorns, he's potter on Yom Kippur, and moreover that you don't even make a bracha beforehand, and that it's not a fruit, that's when it's dry. Dry peppercorns are not edible at all, and therefore that's when he said that one would not make any bracha before one eats. So now the Gemara asks, from a different case, on that Rava had said that ginger is also inedible, and therefore one would be potter from eating the ginger Yom Kippur. But Amri le Rabban le Mireimer, the Rabban said to Mireimer, Kazdang vila b'yom de kippuri potter. That they said that whoever chews ginger, whoever consumes ginger on Yom Kippur, is potter. But Va'amar Rava, but Rava said, Rava himself said that Hayam losa de asim behanduye sharya. That this dish of hamlosa, which is a dish that has ginger and honey that comes from the Hindus, that it's permitted, and that is that since it's raw, it's fitting to eat when it's in a raw state. So therefore, although it's cooked by non-Jews, it doesn't have the isra, the prohibition of bishul akum. That is because bishul akum only applies to something that it's only fit to eat when it's cooked, but if it's fit even when it's raw, although they cook it, it does not have the prohibition. And also it doesn't have the isra of giuli nachrim, which would have, if it has blias of tarifas, if it has non-kosher ingredients in, because they always cook in separate dishes, so therefore it's permitted to eat this dish that comes from them, even though obviously we're talking about that there's no hashkacha. And moreover, mevarchin alea bar pri adama. Rabbi said that what is the bracha on this dish? That you make a bracha of bar pri adama. So obviously that what we see from this is that since there's no isra of bishul akum on this hamlos, on this ginger dish, that obviously it's fit to eat when it's raw. So then you see that raw ginger is a pri, is fit to eat. So why would Rava say that one is potter from eating ginger on Yom Kippur because it's raw and it's inedible? But we see from this hamlosa dish that the reason why it's not prohibited because of bishul akum is because it's fit to eat when it's raw. And therefore they're not doing anything, so to speak, chashav enough when they're cooking it. But how can you say that it's fitting to eat when it's raw if you say that on Yom Kippur you're not going to be chayav and karas because it's inedible? So the Gemara gives a similar teretz that we gave regarding peppercorns, that loy kasha habrit tifta habia beshta. That when did we say that ginger is considered a fruit and that one would be making a bari pri adama and that there would not be a isra bishul akum? That's when it's moist. When it's dry, dry ginger is not fit to eat at all, and therefore if one consumes dry ginger Yom Kippur, one would be potter. Now the Gemara continues onto a different brachas on different items. Regarding chavetz kedera is a type of a porridge, like a farina, that's made up of flour, honey, and oil. V'chein dais, and similarly, this is a different type of porridge that's made from grits. And that is, it's not turned into a flour, rather it's pounded down the actual grains, and then it's mixed together. Kula amal, the Gemara says that that's a machlekes. Rav Yehuda amal shahakal nebedvar. Rav Yehuda says you make a shahakal. Rav Kahana amal barim in mezonis. That you make a barim in mezonis because it's made out of flour. So the Gemara qualifies this machlekes. That is, b'daisa greida, regarding when it's just grits. When it's just, so to speak, you took grain and you pounded it, and then you made this dish. That kula amalei pligi de barim mezonis. Everyone would agree, even Rabbi Yehuda, that one would definitely make a barim mezonis because it's flour. Ki pligi b'daisa ke'en chavetz keder. When did they argue regarding this grits? It's when it's similar to the case of the potted porridge, that it's made with a lot of honey, as that's the case with chavetz keder. And that is, the machlekes is as follows. Rav Yehuda amar shahakal. Why does Rav Yehuda say shahakal if it's made out of flour? Because sabar duv sheker, he holds that the main ingredient is the honey. That's why people eat it. And that is the purpose of it is. We know by Hilchas Brachas that it happens a lot of times with different things, like peanut shoes. There are different things. If one becomes aware of the Halachas of Brachas, that it depends what the purpose of it. And since he held that the purpose of this dish is for the honey, that's why people eat it. So that's the main ingredient. So that's why you make a shahakal, which is the halacha that the bracha on honey. Why does he say that you make a bari mezainis? Because Savar Smidik, he holds that the main ingredient is the flour. So the Gemara concludes and says, Amr Rav Yosef Kavaseid Rav Kahana Mistapa. It would make sense that the halacha is like Rav Kahana, that the proper bracha on these dishes, although it has honey and flour, that the halacha would be that you make a bari mezainis. And the reason is, because the Rav Shmuel, Damar Tavayu, because we have a halacha from Rav Shmuel that they both say, Kol sheyesh boi mechameshes aminim, mevarchin alav bari min mezainis. That whatever has, that is made up of the five types of grains, that you make a bari min mezainis, is that the flour is always the ikker. And that is, since it's the ikker, so therefore we're going to be making bari min mezainis, although maybe the honey is why the people eat it, but ultimately if it's an integral part, an ingredient of the dish, and that the flour is, so therefore you're going to make a bracha on the flour, because that always becomes the ikker, and that's where the halacha would be bari min mezainis, and not a shahakal.